This is Lewis Rogers, founder and CEO of Capital Square Realty Advisors. Welcome to the Real Estate Show, sponsored by Capital Square. Capital Square sponsors tax-advantaged real estate investments. First, Section 1031 exchange programs for tax deferral. Capital Square uses the Delaware Statutory Trust, or DST structure, for Section 1031 tax-deferred exchanges. We've discussed in prior shows that the IRS and Treasury have approved the DST structure for 1031 exchanges. Second, Opportunity Zone funds for tax deferral and exclusion. By investing in a qualified Opportunity Zone fund, investors are able to defer and permanently exclude capital gains from any asset, whether it's stock, businesses, bonds, you name it, even real estate. And finally, a real estate investment trust, a REIT, to acquire apartment communities in the southeast of Texas for stable income and growth. The REIT's first property is in Midlothian, not far from Capital Square's headquarters in Richmond. REITs are an excellent vehicle for regular folks to invest in real estate, and the icing on the cake, REIT dividends are tax favored. Capital Square is the investment manager of over 138 properties nationwide. That equates to well over $3 billion of real estate. In Virginia, Capital Square sponsors and manages 17 properties for the DST 1031 program with an investment cost of approximately $1 billion. These programs are designed primarily for Section 1031 exchange investors. So that's 1031 DST programs and 4 Opportunity Zone funds in the Scotts Addition neighborhood of Richmond. And those are designed for investors seeking to defer and exclude capital gains of any type. Just look at the construction cameras on Capital Square's website to see the activity. It's amazing. New projects are coming out of the ground with the first tenants taking possession of brand new Class A apartments starting this fall. Capital Square is bullish on Virginia. We have numerous new acquisitions in the pipeline and will continue to invest aggressively in Virginia. In prior shows, Glenn Youngkin, gubernatorial candidate, discussed his strategies for the Virginia economy, how he would create jobs in Virginia. This is critically important to Capital Square because jobs drive the real estate economy, and a strong economy drives our real estate investments. Next, John McGuire, former Navy SEAL, businessman, and citizen legislator. I'm pleased to welcome John McGuire to the Real Estate Show, sponsored by Capital Square Realty Advisors. John, I've known you for many years. I've seen the many benefits from your SEAL team physical training program, and now you are a conservative voice in the Virginia House of Delegates. Well done. Our audience can learn a great deal from the way John has overcome many challenges in his life. We can learn from John's challenges and success as a Navy SEAL, husband and father, businessman, and recently a citizen legislator. We'll come back to that. Let's get started. Early background, John. You were born and raised in Henrico. As a child, you spent time in foster care, bouncing between different schools. I understand your grandparents rescued you from foster care. You graduated from Henrico High School, and then you joined the Navy SEAL, where you had a distinguished career for 10 years. John, your childhood years in foster care must have been challenging. They must have shaped you and ultimately helped make you the man you are today. For our audience, please, how did your difficult childhood shape you?
Well, I think outside your comfort zone is where you grow, and tough times make tough people. You know, I was abandoned as a child. The police found me. I ended up in foster homes, 9 different elementary schools. My wife doesn't like it when I say it, but it's debatable. I turned out okay. But some of the foster homes had religion and some didn't. And I took those Sunday school lessons with me my entire life. But I learned that difficult doesn't mean impossible. And no matter how bad you think you have it, it could always be worse. So I always tell people, when you fall down, get back up. And you fall down again, get back up. As long as you always get back up, you're always in the fight.
That's wonderful. I think we can all learn from that. Former Navy SEAL, those years must have been absolutely wonderful being a part of an elite group. What was it like back in the day?
You know, there are many ways to serve, and my service is no better than anyone's. But I had the honor of becoming a Navy SEAL. You know, in high school, I took karate. And back then, they had a movie called Top Gun. You probably remember the girls, the motorcycles.
Oh, yeah.
The airplanes. And so I took celestial air navigation. I took aerodynamics. And I wanted to be a pilot. But my karate sensei was a Green Beret in Vietnam. And he said, if you become a pilot and someone takes your plane away, you're no good. But if you become a Green Beret, you are a weapon. So I said, nah, I want to be a pilot. But then one day, someone brought me a magazine called Gung Ho. It said, toughest men alive. It said you had a better chance of being president of the United States and becoming a Navy SEAL. It had scuba diving, skydiving, explosives, sniper rifles, push-ups, everything that any red-blooded American boy would like. So I took that magazine to my sensei and I said, what about these guys? And he said, they're a bunch of crazy mother. And by the way, you're too small and you can never do that. So decided I wanted to be a SEAL. But you learn in Navy SEAL training, it's not what you look like, it's what you fight like. Typically 200 men per class, usually 20 graduate. One class graduated 0 out of 200.
Zero?
So, 0 out of 200. So, you know, not everyone gets a trophy, and you will not become a SEAL unless you are a leader. And when we're behind enemy lines, when we're outnumbered, you know, we just cannot afford the luxury of a quitter. So it was, it was a heck of a 10 years serving in Europe, Asia, South Central America, and other places. And I'm very proud to be able to serve this great country.
You were abandoned as a child, but you overcame that. You bounced back.
Sure.
And you made it through Hell Week. You must have made it through Hell Week. You're not the largest person on earth. How did you become a door kicker at 5 foot, whatever you are?
Yeah, 5'8". I'm working on my height. It's not going well. Yeah, so I guess I was the smallest guy in my class. I remember there was an instructor, Guma Tautau. He was Samoan from Henrico County, Virginia. I'd never heard of Samoan people, but he had a head, just had a really huge head. He was just a big guy, kind of like The Rock. And he would punch me in the arm every day and say, we don't want small guys in the SEAL teams. Sometimes I would get behind a big guy. He'd find me and he'd just punch me in the arm and say, we don't want small guys. He basically did that every day. But on graduation, he said that the instructors, he told the class, he said, you know, we would talk at night how we're going to beat up the class tomorrow so that McGuire would quit. And he said the guys we liked quit and McGuire always stayed. And he said, I'd rather have 5 guys that always stay than 50 that are going to quit. And so, like I said, 19 graduated out of 200.
That's really something. Well, can you give us one lesson for life from the SEAL experience?
Well, I guess there are millions of them, but I guess one is difficult doesn't mean impossible. And don't let the world put limits on you and don't put limits on yourself. A lot of us don't achieve our goals in life and we want to blame other people, but it really comes down to ourselves. Right. And I'd say we are all capable of 80% mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually. We're all capable of 80% more than we think. And a lot of people give up. Like there are stories in Hell Week, for example, where I can give you an example. So in Hell Week, there's something called Lion's Lope. And what you do is you have a long line of guys. They wrap their legs around the guy in front of their waist, etc. So you have this big chain of guys. And you have to backstroke through freezing cold water and navigate and steer this long line of guys. So I have my legs around the guy in front of his waist. He's got his legs around another guy's waist. And you have this big long chain and you're backstroking. And what you find is when you go to get air, the guy behind you, his feet push you down because he's trying to get air. So basically, while I'm freezing, I go get a mouthful of water and air. So I spit out the water and breathe the air over and over and choking through the whole evolution. About half the class quit. So we get to the beach. The instructors say, you're the worst class I've ever seen.
Oof.
Line it up and get ready to do it again.
Oh, no.
So we line it up, get ready to do it again. Another half of the class quit. And when they run away, the instructor goes, just kidding. And then we run away. So we didn't do it again. But these guys quit because what they thought was coming up. And, you know, I'd rather fail trying to do something than quit without even giving it a try. So difficult doesn't mean impossible. We can do more than we think. You just got to work hard and work as a team, and you got to believe in yourself.
Is Hell Week always on the West Coast?
Yeah, SEAL training is in one location.
Coronado.
It's Coronado, California. And the water is surprisingly cold. I mean, the water comes down from Alaska. And I tell you what's interesting, though, I got a phone call back in July saying being out of shape is no excuse. You're going to come with us for charity. We had to swim from Alcatraz Island in San Francisco, 2.5 miles against the current. And I did this in July. And I was the oldest SEAL there. And, I have a minor setback we might talk about later. But they asked me to come out there for charity and I swam. And last year, some of the guys didn't make it. So I wasn't going to be the guy that wasn't going to make it. So my shoulders were sore for 2 weeks, but I just pushed as hard as I can. I made it. And when I get to the beach, they're like making a big deal of it. And I was like, what's the big deal? And they said, we all bet money you weren't going to make it. But I made it. I was sore, and it was a good cause. But I tell you what, it felt like someone was sticking ice picks in my forehead. And it reminded me I might not be as tough as I used to be when I went through Navy SEAL training back in the 80s.
I think you're still pretty tough. I'm trying to understand you. The tide's coming in. You have those rubber rafts, and you have to get out. Water hits you, throws you back into the beach. How do you get out of the surf? How did you do that?
Well, that's actually the easy thing.
That's easy?
Well, let me tell you what's more difficult. So there's something in SEAL training called rock portage. And basically, if you look at the beach in Coronado near Hotel Del Coronado, so you guys want to go to Google and look at Hotel Del Coronado.
Hotel Del.
You can look from a satellite imagery and see all the rocks on the beach. Big boulders. And you basically have to, during rock portage, you take this boat, the waves are crashing into these rocks. And you basically have to time it. And you have to get your inflatable boat to the rocks. And then you have one guy that gets out of the boat first, and he wraps the bow line around his waist and tries to hold it steady. That's called the bow man. That was me. You'd think they'd have a big guy do that. They had me do that. So I'd hold the rope tight, and the rest of the team would get out, and then we'd lift the boat up and carry it a little bit at a time until we got to the dry land. But basically what happens is the waves crash. They throw the boat up over your heads. There's people in oars everywhere. And I notice nowadays they wear Pro-Tech helmets. When we did it, we didn't. So we had stitches in our heads and everything else. So you have to get the boat through the surf, over the rocks to the beach, and then get the boat back over the rocks, back into the surf, and back out past the surf zone. So that's called rock portage, and that'll make it tough. It'll make it tough. But how do you do it? You have to work as a team. You have to do your job. And you have to realize some things are more important than fear and go forward anyway. Because I'm sure most people would say, there's no way I'm paddling a boat into crashing waves into rocks.
That's something. We'll come back to teamwork because that's a theme. We could talk about SEAL team things all day, and it'd be a lot of fun. I remember watching you on the obstacle course in San Diego, where you have to do a backflip to get to the platform to climb up the ropes. I was wondering how you were going to do that backflip, but you did it.
When I got to SEAL training, I got there and my orders say class 164. And the doctor looked me up and down that you have to check in with. And you know, you can tell when somebody's judging you. He looked me up and down and he says, we'll start you in 8 weeks in class 165. If I was a smart man, I would have listened to him. But I said, no. My orders say I'm in class 164. We start on Sunday. I should have said, okay, we'll start in 8 weeks. But you know, you're excited to go. You're a young person. Yep. And I said, I've been working out 3 hours a day. And he looked at me again up and down. He goes, you've been working out 3 hours a day? Yeah, right. So he said, I'll tell you what, we'll take a fitness test tomorrow with 200 men. And if you do well, we'll start you on Sunday. If not, we'll start you in 8 weeks in class 165. Well, I took that fitness test. I was top of the class. So they started me on Sunday. The bad thing about that is if I would have had 8 weeks of practice, I could have practiced the O course, practiced the knot tying, and learned the lingo and had like a little prep before I began SEAL training. But because I physically performed very well, the first time I ever saw the obstacle course, I had to either pass it or I was out of training. But luckily, I was on the wrestling team. I was in great shape. You know, I could do a lot of pull-ups. I was just a really terrible swimmer. But, you know, actually, by the time I got to Buds, I was pretty good on the swim.
How did you do that backflip onto the platform? I couldn't even get to the platform to climb the ropes.
The way the platform works is you basically reach up and grab it and you flip up. You know, you do a back pull up on top of the deck or each level. So you basically reach up, you pull up, and you do like a back flip over on top of each level. And then when you leave from the top, you have a slide for life rope with your belly on. You do commando style all the way down. But yeah, I actually, during my time, I was undefeated on some obstacle courses overseas, and I was undefeated on the SEAL East Coast obstacle course in Virginia Beach. In fact, a lot of guys made excuses that the reason I was undefeated was because I was small. So the Master Chief put on some H gear with dive weight. So I had lead weight put around my body. And so then I raced my platoon wearing lead weight. And when I beat everybody wearing lead weight, they left me alone. I think the answer really was technique, though, because plenty of people were stronger than me and everything else. But I think the technique, you know, was my secret.
So the 220-pound football players didn't have an advantage over 150 pounds.
Well, everybody has different strengths and weaknesses. You know, some guys on the team lift more, some people run faster, but you put all those differences together and you worked as a team and you turned the impossible to the possible. So everybody has different strengths and weaknesses. Everybody has different gifts. You put that together and you make a team.
Let's shift gears to marriage and kids. After all that, you married Tracy. You have a bunch of kids. You live in Goochland. How did marriage and fatherhood help to shape your life?
Well, that's interesting. It definitely gives you a different lens. You know, I think we'll talk about being a legislator later, but I have the lens of having been abandoned as a child, having served in the military. But I think the lens of being a husband and a father is important in my success in life, and certainly as a legislator. But we have five children. My first daughter, Ariel, was born. I immediately thought, holy cow, I need to learn everything so that I can teach her everything. And it was definitely a reality check. You know, maybe I didn't take things as seriously as I could have, but when you have a daughter in your hands that was just born, you start to take things in life a lot more serious. But our children are the best things about life. You know, we have five children. Tracy says I'm number six. I tell you this, they grew up way too fast. Our youngest son, Spencer, just graduated University of Kentucky. He already has a bunch of roommates and a good job up in Washington, D.C. So we just got a new dog. And a year and a half, we have this great Pyrenees that's huge, but she has us wrapped around her finger.
That's exciting. That gives you more balance in your life. And you're a businessman, SEAL Team PT for the last 22 years or so. You've helped thousands of people get in shape, not just physically, but mentally. If you would, give us a flavor of SEAL Team PT.
You know, I got a job when I got out of the Navy SEALs with Nextel. It was a cell phone company, cell phone radio company. And I remember that my boss wouldn't look me in the eyes. I noticed he had a huge belly, so he was out of shape. And he would give me something to do, and I would get for the whole day. I'd get it done by 11, and I'd say, okay, what can I do next? And he had nothing for me. So I thought he lacked fitness, he lacked confidence, and he lacked leadership. So that kind of inspired me to start my own business. I had an idea of starting this business, but I was kind of afraid to start my own business. But I think he bored me more than I was afraid. And I said, you know, I can help people. And that's really my mission statement before I run out of breath. I want to help as many people believe in themselves and realize that if we put our differences aside, respect each other and communicate and work together as a team, we can move mountains. So I started SEAL Team PT in September. By the way, the PT stands for physical training, not part-time. But I started SEAL Team physical training in September 1998. We had five people in the first class. No one came back. And I'm just joking. I know, I'm just joking. But somebody said I need to work on my people skills. But I'm just joking about that. But basically, I surveyed people. I said, what did you like? What did you not like? And we got better and better. And then one day, a high school football coach said, can you teach our school some of that leadership? And we're, by luck, we're a small part of it. They won the state championship. So then the next year, the team that got second place hired us. And by luck, they won the state championship. So next thing you know, we're training Penn State, University of Texas, VCU, and many other universities, MIT. And then next thing you know, we have corporations calling us up like Capital One, Amazon, Red Bull, and many, many. Probably you've heard of a company called Blackstone in Park Avenue in Manhattan. We work with them. We started training corporate teams in Rome, Malaysia, Argentina, all over the United States. We had a woman who's the CEO of a $2 billion company. She said, John, after you worked with our leadership team, we had the most profitable quarter in the history of our company. And I know there's a team in Miami that I work with. This guy brought me as a motivational speaker, and it was great. And I went home, and 2 weeks later, he calls me up and says, you know, I think you're much more than a motivational speaker. And I said, well, I really appreciate that. He said, after you spoke to my company, there's an energy I've never seen before. Would you be willing to go to Las Vegas? So I went to Las Vegas. Then he said, well, you go to New York. And I went to New York, and I started going around the country. And he says, do you think you could take my top leaders and do some of your corporate training with them? And I said, sure. And he goes, what do you have in mind? And I said, let's do 5 hours on the beach in Miami. And he said, John, there's no way these out of shape people are going to survive 5 hours with a Navy SEAL on the beach. So I said, I'll tell you what, how about we just do 1 hour and we'll take a break. And if everybody wants to continue, we'll do that every hour. So he said, sure. So we did 5 hours on the beach. He couldn't believe nobody quit. But one of his most important leaders was pretty out of shape, asked me the question. He said, John, how can I be a better leader? And I wasn't there to talk about fitness, but he asked. And I said, well, a lot of people look up to you. And you said it yourself that you wish you were more fit. So I said, what if you started, exercising 20, 30 minutes a day? What if you changed your diet? So he ended up doing that. He ended up losing like 50 pounds, ran a half marathon, totally changed his life. And this particular guy has hired 800 people. His company's killing it. So he brings me in every quarter. So to help people build confidence, work on their leadership. And then, the thing is, if you as a leader, Lewis, set a goal and you achieve it, all the people in your business will see that. And they'll say, well, you know what? He's walking the walk. If he can set a goal, stick to it and achieve it, maybe I can set goals for myself and achieve those goals. So that's called leading by example.
If you would boil it all down, would you say it's trying to get to the mission of SEAL Team? Is it to help people work as a team? What's the primary mission?
Well, we have a mission statement that has never changed since 1998. And the mission statement says our mission is to help people become stronger, healthier, and more confident as a team. Because you're going to do more with a team than you will at home on your own. I mean, we're bear crawling and doing push-ups and all this stuff. Most people wouldn't do that at home on their own.
Absolutely. You have a number of interesting sayings I'll never forget, like on time is late. I like that one. And if you do things the same old way, how does that one end?
If you do what you always did, you get what you always got. So my wife, Tracy, calls them McGuire-isms. somebody said to me one day, how many McGuire-isms do you have? And I don't know. I said, maybe 15. So Tracy started writing them down. She came up with 250 McGuire-isms. And so where do they come from? I guess they come from my experiences on the wrestling team or as a Navy SEAL or as a business owner, as a father, or pop culture. Who knows? Maybe I've turned some quotes around I've heard. But I say one, that if you cheat yourself, who won't you cheat? And if you cheat while I'm watching you, what do you do when I'm not watching you? I just say to kind of empower people to make sure they have good form. But I heard a story about one of our members moved to Australia, and she joined this marathon training team, and she used some of those quotes to inspire the people on the team. And one of the guys quit the training. So on the day of the marathon, she saw the guy, and she said, I thought you quit. He said, I did quit, but I kept hearing you say, if you cheat yourself, who won't you cheat? So maybe we're having a far-reaching impact with these McGuire-isms. What do you think, Lewis?
I think you are. You definitely are. This is Lewis Rogers, founder and CEO of Capital Square Realty Advisors. Thank you for joining today's episode of The Real Estate Show, sponsored by Capital Square. It's been a record year at Capital Square for Section 1031 exchange programs, Opportunity Zone funds, and the Apartment REIT. The firm has acquired over $1 billion of real estate this year for investment programs. And in spite of the pandemic, we've averaged 99% rent collection in over 9,000 apartment communities from Virginia through the Southeast to Texas. And several investment programs have been taken full cycle. That's when the properties have been sold, and many for record prices. This year has been off the chart for real estate investing in spite of the pandemic. For more information about Capital Square, contact me, Lewis Rogers, at lrogers@capitalsquare1031.com or 877-626-1031. Please join me, Lewis Rogers, same time next week when we discuss cutting-edge real estate topics of interest locally and nationally. Invest locally. Invest nationally. Invest with Capital Square on a tax-advantaged basis. Living in the sweet Virginia breeze.
Sweet Virginia breeze. The Real Estate Show, sponsored by Capital Square Realty Advisors, LLC, is broadcast as an information service and includes opinions as to buying, selling, and holding various investments. However, the host, Lewis Rogers, is not licensed to give any financial, tax, or other investment advice or recommendations. Accordingly, any data and information discussed is provided for informational and entertainment purposes only and is not intended to be an offer or solicitation to invest in any particular investment. You should never make an investment decision based solely off the information discussed on this broadcast. If you are seeking investment, tax, or legal advice, you should consult with a registered investment advisor, financial, tax, or legal professional of your choosing. Opinions and views expressed on this broadcast are opinions and views based on research gathered through what we believe to be reputable sources. Although we believe these sources to be accurate and reliable, in no way do we represent or guarantee the accuracy thereof, nor the accuracy of the statements made on this broadcast. Listeners should independently verify all claims on this broadcast and conduct their own due diligence before investing in any securities or investments, including any mentioned on this broadcast. Investing in securities is highly speculative and carries a high degree of risk.